Daf is Daf Ayin. So we got to the very last line of Samech Testament Beis. The Gemara is asking the following question. Abayi, Rabba asks, L'inyan Maiser Mai. What about Maiser? We've been talking about replanting things and whether it's able to take on a new Parm Chadashas Balukan, whether it changes, whether it takes the initial, the Basar Ikra Aslinan, Basar Tosefes Aslinan. So he asks a similar question, L'inyan Maiser Mai. What's the halacha? So the Gemara has to clarify what exactly is the question. Hey, Chidami. The Gemara explains, going on to Daf Ayin now, Kigon Damdinu V'Asrinu. So Rashi explains the very top line here, Damdinu V'Asrinu Shekotzer Shibon Harbe. He cut a lot of stalks of grains. Lo Dashan, he didn't thresh them, he didn't crush them into kernels, he left them as is in the stalks. Ela Isrin, he took them, he separated Meiser from them. And then after that, the Gemara says, V'Shaslinu V'Os, he put it back in the ground, he planted them as is, not as kernels, but as the actual stalks. He put the stalks back in, which is not typical, and then it grew more, says the Gemara, V'Hosifulu. Now it grew further. So now again, he cut off stalks, he took Meiser from them, and then he replanted the chulin stalks, and now they grew, and they grew further. So what's the shaila here? Do you go base the basar ikra aslidan, which means the ikra already had Meiser taken, it's chulin, and anything that grows additionally to that follows the ikra, and therefore is pater from Meiser, or no? Do we view the Tosefes as something separate, and the Tosefes would require Meiser? So the Gemara explains. Im timsa lomar lo azin bakar basar ikar. You don't go based on the bakar, based on the ikar rather, and the Tosefes is something separate, and Tosefes does require meiser. It's Tosefes by asiri. So if we assume that you don't go based on the ikar, we only say based on the ikar when it's a chumra, but when it's a kula, we don't go based on the ikar. And here would be a kula to say that Tosefes follows ikar. That would be a kula that you don't need to take meiser. So we don't say basar ikar as linen in this case. So the Tosefes requires meiser. So now the question becomes, what about ikar mai? Will we say, now that we're establishing that Tosefes does require meiser, are we going to say that the ikar goes after Tosefes and ikar would require a second meiser now as well, since the Tosefes requires meiser? So Mai, what's the halacha in that case? So Amalei Abai explains, Mai shna mikol chiti visari d'alma. Why would it be any different than any chita and sora in general? Rashi explains here, Mai shna mikol chiti visari d'alma da'af agav dimasre. Even though when you take maisa from regular wheat and then you turn into seeds and you replant them, ki hader zari lo, when you replant these chita by asura, you have to take new maisa when it grows into new grains. So that even though these kernels were ready, went through a maisa before him, when you put it back in the ground, you require to take maisa on the whole chita. So hunami by asuri here as well. This case, that when you put the stalk back in the ground, since the Tosefes requires meiser, the stalks themselves should also require another meiser, just like the seeds of chit in general require another meiser. So the Gemara says no. Amrle davar shezaru kala lo mibayle. When it came to a seed that's kala, that gets removed, that gets absorbed in the ground and completely lost, there's never a shaila. Meaning when you take a kernel, a zera of chit or sora, and you put it in the ground and it never comes back, it just turns into the wheat, everyone agrees you require meiser in that whole stalk. Elakik mibayla, our shaila was davar she'ein zarukala. A stalk, when you put a whole stalk in the ground, that stalk doesn't decay, that stalk doesn't go anywhere, that stalk remains as it is, and it just adds on further grains to grow on top. So that's the question. When the zera goes in the ground, when you lose that zera entirely, vada, you need meiser in the whole stalk. But when you put a stalk in the ground and that stalk remained, it just adds on. That was the shaila, whether the stalk, whether the ikar will also require meiser. So the Gemara says, Mai, what's the halacha? So answer the Gemara, Tif Sheit Le Meha. Let's answer from the following case. Damar Rebbe Yitzchak, Amar Rebbe Yochanan. Litra batzel, you have a certain volume of onions. Shetiknu, that you took meiser on properly. And vizaro, then you replanted the onion. Misaser lefi kulo, you have to take meiser connected the entire onion, even the initial onion that was placed, the initial bulb that was placed in the ground, that also is taken into account in calculating how much meiser needs to be taken. So just like when you put an onion back in the ground and it grows, you need to take it on the entire onion, even the ikar, here as well. When you put a stalk back in the ground, you need to calculate meiser based on the entire chita, even including the ikar.
When you put a stalk in the ground, the stalk itself gets destroyed. Detroit and just the seeds grow?
My understanding, I really don't know.
Because but it seems to me that I never heard that stalks grow again. The seeds do grow again.
Yeah, I can't tell you how it works agriculturally. I have no idea. I assume you put this stalk back in the ground. You know, like the aravos. People take aravos after Sukkot. They put it back in the ground, and those aravos grow to something big.
But when you say putting it in the ground, it means that part of it stays outside of the ground, or the whole thing is buried in the ground.
I imagine above the ground, but I really don't know. I'm not sure.
That's what it seems, but it's not that clear.
Okay. Yes, I don't know the agriculture of it. So the Gemara wants to prove from here that you do take the miser even on the Iker. So the Gemara says no. Hasim hainu zriyasa, hachalav hainu zriyasa. By the onion, that's the way it's supposed to grow. You're supposed to put the entire onion in the ground and it causes other onions to grow. That's normal, and therefore, since it's a derech, we view even the initial onion as part of the growth process. But here, to put a stalk back in the ground, no one does that. That's very uncharacteristic to do such a thing. And therefore, we don't calculate the initial stalk necessarily as part of requiring maisa, since it's not the derech v'kach. So then the Gemara says, Amar le Rabbi Chanina bar minyumni labai. Otzitz, a different shaila now. You have an otzitz she'eno nakuf mahu. Right now, the understanding of the question is, let's say you have an otzitz she'eno nakuf, a pot that's not perforated. So it's a pot that's in your house. It's not above ground, above the dirt. And you want to take maisa from that pot to another pot. Both pots have no holes in them. They're completely sealed on the bottom. So you'll have to take one maisa and truma from one to the other. And the Gemara says, Mahu, what's the answer? Ilo nakiv hola nakiv. What's a shaila? If both of them are not have no holes in them, so they're both pater midiraisa, a non-perforated pot is not chayiv and shumas and maisos, because it's not connected to the ground. If there were holes, so then it is chayiv, because it's yonik from the ground through that hole. But if it's sealed, it's not chayiv. So of course, you could take one or the next. They're both the same level of chayiv. So the question is no. This is the shaila. Dilma chazer v'nakvu ka'amras. The shaila is, what if you have a pot that's starting to grow something? And then you pluck a hole in the bottom now, so now it's being yonic from the ground, so it grows even further now. But now when it's growing additional to that, that new growth is actually chiyuv midiraisa, because at the second half of its growth, it's being yonic from the ground. That's the shaila here. So look at Rashi just to make this shaila much clearer. Rashi says, Chazav v'nakva kamras, the hachi kamibaylam. Otit shesheno nakav, if there is no hole, the galla hatua b'mik. That's in the, whatever it is growing, wheat is growing in the pot a little bit. V'charkach, after it grew half its size, let's say. Nakvo, you make a hole in the bottom of the pot, so now it's being yonik from the ground. Ma'ula suri minei ube. Can you take ma'isa from it within itself? Can you take ma'isa from the different parts of the wheat? Because im timta lomar, if you're going to say, lo azlin and baser ikr, we don't follow the ikr, v'tosefes shegadol achar nikiva by yisure. So since the tosefes was grown while the pot had a hole, meaning it grew with a chiv meiser, and you don't go based on the ikr was not when it was chayiv meiser, hilkach, therefore, lo matzi asuri mina ikr al tosefes havile mina ptur al chiv. You wouldn't be able to take meiser from it itself, because half of it, the first half that was growing was pater, and the new half that grew of the grain is chayiv, because there's now a hole. O dimar, perhaps we say ikr nami mechayiv, or do you say that the ikr follows the tosefes, the zeal baser tosefes, l'chumra, and just like the tosefes is chayiv meiser, so too the ikr should be chayiv meiser as well. The ikr follows the additional growth, and you can be maaser minei ube. That's the shaila of the Gemara. So again, right now the Tosefes certainly does require Maisa because it grew when there was a hole. The question is whether the Iker follows the Tosefes or does not follow the Tosefes. So that's what we want to use perhaps as a model as a previous case as well. Whatever we're going to answer by the Atos Sheino Nakov should be the same answer as the case of the Maisa or the stalks being grown back in. So the... So the Gemara says... So the Gemara answers, so that's actually not, even though it's posed as a question, the Gemara really thinks that that's the solution. Meaning what? A person should not separate it because you are, a person can separate it because you're not you assume that it is a continued growth. By the again, by the Ad Sheino Nakav, when you make the hole, it's continued. It's considered one growth, and we do say that the Iker does follow the Tosefes. Can we use that as a raya for the case of the stalks when you replant it into the ground also, as the Iker follows the Tosefes? So the Gemara says you can't bring a raya. When it comes to the case of the Atas Sheino Nakov, it's called one Zriya, Echbure Hu de Kamechabre Vol. It's all one growth. You never remove the food from the pot and put it back in. It was all in the same pot, you just added a hole into it. So if you just look at Rashi, Rashi says this a little further down in Rashi's, Hachad Zriyahi, Ve'achshav Kishenokvahi, when you make the hole, again, the grain grew 50% in the pot. You made a hole in the bottom. Now, Mishchalas Lahashis now begins to take root. That's the beginning of the Zriya. We view the entire plant growing in that pot as one Zriya. One Maisa Zriya, it's all a continuation, and therefore the Iker does follow the Tosefes. But with regards to our case, back in the Gemara, Hasam Shei Zriyas Ninhu. When it comes to the stalks you took out of the ground, you took Maisa, and then you replanted it, those are two separate Zriyos, and maybe you cannot have them be continuous. Maybe the Iker does not follow the Tosefes in the initial question that we had, and the Gemara does not have a solution.
By the case of Asnakov, you didn't take off Meiser first time, right? It's just that
correct.
It was a tour in Meiser because it was
exactly, right. Correct. Okay, so the Gemara now asks another question. By Rabbi Abahu, Shibolas Shemarcha Bikri. So let's say you have a Shibolas, you have a bunch of stalks of grain, and then you smooth the top of the pile. And now we know there's a Isser Tevel. You have to now be, you have to separate Meiser. But before you do that, you don't take Meiser. There's just a Chiv Tevel, right? There's a Chiv Meiser. It's an Isser Tevel, but you don't take Meiser. What do you do instead? Vishasla, you decide to take these Tevel stalks and you put it back into the ground. The Kari Allah of Shame, and then while it's in the ground, you call it Chuma. So again, I've got a whole pile here of grain, of wheat, and it's all Tevel. I put the wheat in the ground. And while it's connected to the ground, I say, okay, I'm being mafresh chuma, and these wheats are chuma, while they're connected to the ground. So what's the shaila here? The Gemara says, mahu, kevin demarcha tavlelei, since he spread the top of the pile, it's echiv tavel, ki kara le'eshem kachala, and when he calls the wheat that he put back in the ground, chuma, it's kadosh, it actually works, that's called chuma. Old Dilmar, perhaps do we say, kevin deshasla, or perhaps when we put it into the ground, it loses its shame tevel. Since it's connected to the ground now, it's mevatel the din of tevel, and therefore, since it's not tevel, you cannot call it truma. That's the question. When you're shasla back in the ground, is it going to lose the shame tevel or not lose the shame tevel? That's the suffix. So the Gemara says, Amrle Rabbanan, Rabbanan say Le'abaye, Imkain, if that's the case, that if you can assume that if you put it back into the ground, you are allowed to call it truma, it still works, imkein matzinu truma b'mechub l'karka. That means you could call something truma when it's attached to the ground, but that's a problem, because titnan, the Mishnah tells us that lo matzinu truma b'mechub l'karka. We can never find truma while it's attached to the ground. So how could the Gemara even entertain the possibility that when you put the stalks back in the ground, you may call truma? There's an explicit Mishnah that tells us you can never call something attached to the ground truma. So the Gemara says, no, amrle kitanya hi linyan ichuva misa v'chomesh. We're talking about over there, that when it's attached to the ground, someone who eats chuma can never be chayv misa v'zazar and can't be chayv chomesh, paying the additional payments for taking from the kohen. That can never be chayv if a person eats it while it's attached to the ground for a technical reason, as we're about to see. But in terms of hachalosh chuma, calling a chuma, one would be able to call mechub l'karka chuma. So why can't, if you really could call it chuma, if it's called chuma while attached to the ground, how come if one eats it attached to the ground, he's not chayv misa, he's not chayv chomesh? So the Gemara explains, for technical reasons, detalish, if he detaches it from the ground and eats it, well, achal talish, that's called eating talish. So what's the case of eating mukhubar? The e gachin v'achavi bends down, crouches down to eat it while it's attached to the ground still, but la daitel etokaldam, that's not called a normal way of eating, and that's lav achilahi. And that's why he's pater from misa and chomesh, because of technicality, that's not derech achila. But in a chanami, you can call it chuma, you can be mekadesh something, mechubar l'karka, and call it b'shem chuma. Fine, so the Gemara now, talking about the situation of eating in strange ways, the Gemara says,
and it wouldn't be some kind if you take truma and you're not a kohen, you plant it.
The no meila would only be subject. That's it. Didn't touch him.
Whatever. It's
no, he said. No, it's it would be considered mazik.
Or it's a case of a kohen that's doing it himself. Maybe.
No, it's not a case of a kohen. He wouldn't be chayv chumas and ma'aser. That'd be gneva, a situation of gneva stealing someone else's, perhaps. No, the lach is ki pasuk says ki yochal. I forget the whole pasuk, but ki yochal. Only a person who eats derech achil is chayv. A guy who is simply mazik but doesn't eat it, he'd be potter.
I'm trying to say the original stock, meaning you have stock, you mafresh truma. So this is for the kohen. So the only way you can plant it is if you take from that you were mafresh already. Otherwise, it's not considered truma.
Are you saying who's replanting it?
Yeah, because otherwise.
No, if I'm mafresh truma, if I'm mafresh truma right now, so that no. First, I wasn't mafresh yet. You just created tevel. There's no truma yet.
Tevel, it's not truma.
Correct.
The question is on tevel or
tevel. Tevel. You take tevel. You put tevel back in the ground. Now, whilst I didn't call truma anything, now I said I want that. That's in the ground. That's going to be truma.
So you're at that point, you make it.
And now it's truma. Now some guy comes along and eats it. Even maybe I'll eat it. Even and am I chayav misa for doing this or not? And the Gemara says.
The question is, will you be able to even name it truma? Not even if it's.
Well, so that's the Gemara saying that in terms of that possibility, you can. Mishnah says you can't call something mechubal karka truma, and Gemara says that's only regarding eating it. It's only regarding chayav misa and chomesh, but with regards to calling it truma, that would be a possibility. So now the Gemara never gets back to the answer whether that chuma works or doesn't work. He's just saying in terms of one who eats from the mechubal karka, that certainly would be potter from misa and chomesh. But he's just saying it's still possible to say that chuma would work. But the Gemara doesn't answer what we respond. So now in that discussion of eating something in a very strange way, that again, one who's gachin v'achal, one who bends down and eats chuma, that's mechubal karka, it's potter and misa and chomesh. So asks the Gemara now, Maishna midechseva pinkasu del ilfi. What was? Why is it different than that which was written on the what do they say it's in English?
Ledger.
The ledger of Ilfa. Ilfa was a chaver, a friend of Rabbi Yochanan. Those who know the Gemara in Tainis, they're good friends. He's a big Talmud Chacham. So beite nivlas ha'of tahor. Let's say the egg of a nivlas ha'of tahor, a kosher bird, a duck, let's say, that died, wasn't shechted, it's a nevela, it died. So the beitza of it, so the lach of the beitza, if the beitza is still inside the duck, so then just like the duck is a nevela, the beitza also has a din of a nevela. If the beitza is detached, if it's outside, if it's ready laid, so then that egg would not have a din of a nivlas of tahor, one could eat it. So what happens, the Gemara says, miktasan b'chutz, miktasan b'fnim. If part of it is inside, part of it's outside. So if b'fnim, if the part of it's inside, mitamin begadim, the one who eats the egg, now this while it's inside the duck still, so if it's b'fnim, so then it's mitamin begadim abeis ablia. A person eats nevela of nivlas of tahor, a kosher bird that is dead, wasn't shechted, but dropped dead, if one eats it, when he swallows it, he becomes tamei. But if it's out, so that's the din. So the Gemara says, if he's eating the egg whilst inside the duck still, it's metamim begadim abeis ablia. But if it's mibechutz, if he's eating the part of the egg that's outside the duck, right, it's partially inside, partially outside, if he's eating the part of the egg that's outside, ain't metamim begadim abeis ablia. So then he's not metamim. So now this is a very strange case, of course, who would eat an egg while it's inside, or half inside, half outside. But we see from this, though, it's considered achila. I mean, if one eats the egg while inside the duck, that's considered a normal achila and would be metame. So why is it different than the guy who bends down and eats wheat while it's attached to the ground? It seems that both of them are very strange, and both of them either should not be achilas or both of them should be achilas. So the Gemara says, no, in echanami there's a difference. Talish avida inche da'achli hachi, b'mechubar lo avida inche da'achli. No. Apparently, it's somewhat normal to eat an egg in such a way when it's connected into the duck. When it comes to grains, though, people eat grains when they're detached, when they're talish only. No one eats grains when they're mechuber. But in terms of beitei nivlas, beitei of, people would eat an egg even though it's partially inside and partially outside. Okay, it's just the way things were done. Fine. The new Mishnah tells us. I skipped out. Amar Rav Tevyuma Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel. One who plants a kalayim, he's mixing, he's crossbreeding in an atzit sheino nakif, in a pot that's not perforated, it doesn't have a hole, it's asr to do so. Midirais, it's asr to do so in a pot shenakif, and certainly in the ground, but this is eino nakif, it's not really attached to the ground, it's asr to do this, to plant kalayim. So Amar Abai says, Bishma, this all makes sense. I ashminan loke makas mardis. Midirban Shapir, if the Chiddush of Shmuel is to tell me you get Makas Mardis for doing so, that all makes sense. And if it's just to tell me it's Aser to do this Midirbanan, my Kamash Malan, what's the Chiddush of Shmuel? The Midirbanan, Havizriya, that's telling me that it's Aser to do this Midirbanan to plant it. We already know, Tanina, Tarim, Mishainu Nakov, Al Hanakov, Truma, V'yachsev Yitrum. If a person has a non-perforated pot, and a perforated pot, one with a hole, so the one without the hole is not really chayv and truma. And if you use the fruits growing in that non-perforated pot to be mafresh on that which has a hole in it, that doesn't really work. But if one does it anyways, the truma is chal, but you have to take another truma on the chayv deraisa. But what you see from this Mishnah here, anything that's in an eino nakav pot, that there's a chiyav midirban, there's a chalos midirban of truma, and all other halachas as zra'im midirbanan. So we already know, of course, it's also to do klaim, just like there's a chiyav truma midirbanan, there's a klaim midirbanan, that can't be the chiddush of Shmuel. Elamai, the Gemara didn't say this, but what it means to say is, it must be the chiddush of Shmuel is telling me that not only is it also to plant klaim in Atzei Sheinakov, there's even going to be makas mardus for doing so. And the Mishnah tells us now in the bottom of Daf Ayin and Aleph, Hachitin v'asorin v'akusmin v'ashiboles shual v'ashipon, all the five different grains, all of them are hare elu chayav v'mechala. If you make dough of any of these, then you're chayav v'mechala. Ha'mestarfin zem zeh, and they're able to join with each other to create the proper shear that you need, the 5 pounds or so that you need. You could combine the different grains. V'asurin b'chadosh m'lefnei Pesach, you can't eat them. They're all chadosh before Pesach. The new grains for the year usher until the carbon omer comes. Ulamik miliktor, you can't harvest them at all. M'lefnei omer, before the carbon omer. And im hishrishu kodum l'omer, if they take root before the carbon omer, ha'omer is matirin, the carbon omer allows them, turns them over to yashin and permitted. Bimlav, if they haven't yet taken root, even though they may be in the ground, then they're asurin, they're prohibited from being eaten in ad shevo ha'omer haba, until the following year's carbon omer is brought. So this is a straightforward Mishnah, how 5 grains relate to chala, chadash, and the carbon omer. So the Gemara says, I'm going to need some of your help now with the English here. Tana, kusmin min chitim. Kusmin is what? Is that spelt? The spelt is a type of chita. There's two like avos. There's chitin and seorin. And then there are 3 toldos. They're a total of 5 grains, but they're connected. The spelt is connected. It's the family of wheat, apparently. Shibel shual v'shivon min seorin. These are, oats and rye are bichlal barley. These are seorin. So kusmin, so he says, is guba. That's Aramaic for guma. That would be spelt, I guess, in Aramaic. And shifon is disha. Which one is shifon? Rye, okay, that's rye. And shibola shual is shibola tala, which would be oats. So these are the top 5 grains, the chamishi mine dagan. So the Gemara says, honey in oriz v'dochen lo. Only these 5 grains are chayv in all the halachas we mentioned in the Mishnah, but to the exclusion of rice and what's the other one again?
Mill.
Okay, rice and mill. Milt. Rice and is machlokas, rashi and tosis and brachos, which is which. But rice and mill, these two are not considered the 5 grains and not chayv in the halachas above. So Menachem and Mila, how do I know that Orez V'dochen are excluded? Amar Yish Lakish, Yish Lakish says, Asya Lechem Lechem Yimata, there's a Gzera Shava. It says by Mata Ksiv Hacha, it says by Chala first, Vaya B'Chalchem Milechem Aretz, when you eat the Lechem of the Aretz, referring to Chala, Ukasiv Ksiv Hasam Lechem Oni, by Pesach it says Lechem Oni, so the Gzera Shava connecting Matzah to Hafrashish Chala. V'Hasam Gufo Minal, and how do we know that the matzah could only come from the 5 grains. It can't come from Orez V'dochen. Minalan, Amar Yish Lakish, V'chein Tana, the Beir Rabbi Shmuel, V'chein Tana, the Beir Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar Kra, Lo Sochal Alav Chametz Shivas Yamim, Tochal Alav Matzos, Lechem Oni. So don't eat Chametz all 7 days, yet instead eat matzah. So we see there's a connection to Chametz and matzah. So the Gemara Darshas, as we know, Dvarim Habayim Lidei Chimatz, that which has the potential to become chametz, one may use those types of grains for eating matzah when they're not chametz, but has to have the possibility of becoming chametz. Yatsu elu, to the exclusion of these, namely orez v'dochen, shein ban lidei chimetz, a person tries to have them rise, they're not going to rise, they won't become chametz, ela lidei tzirchon, they get ruined by doing so. There is no content of chametz when it comes to orez v'dochen, and therefore they cannot be used for matzah. So once we establish only the 5 grains are fit for matzah, so too through the gzer shava lechem, they're also only 5 grains are subject to the lachas of hafrashas chal. Marnal says, Umitzdarfin, we saw in the Mishnah, Mitzdarfin Zem Zeh, you're able to combine the different grains for the various halachas. So the Gemara says, Tana, Hatavua, the grains, v'akmachim v'abitekos mitzarfim zemzeh. The tefuah, I think, are the raw grains. Kmachim are the flour as it's been crushed and ground. And bitekos are when they're made into a dough. All these can be mitzarif, even though they're different stages in the process of making bread. So my hilchaza, with regards to which halacha are you being mitzarif, the flour, the dough, and the grains? So Amar Rav Kana le'inin chadash, with respect to chadash, we know there's an iser, there are eyes of eating chadash. If you eat a kazayis of chadash, you're chayv an iser. So the Gemara says, if you have mitzarif, a little bit of dough, a little bit of flour, a little bit of tefuah, you can be mitzarif for all those types. If it amounts to a kazayis of chadash, you're chayv. Rav Yosef Amar le'inin chametz v'pesach. No, it's much. I don't think they're arguing. I think they're just giving different examples. If a person has a kazayis of tefuah, kazayis of batek, and kazayis of kamachim, they can be rather all together, a little bit of each. If they all amount to a kazayis, one would be chayv for eating so in chametz on Pesach. But Papa gives another example. Amar le'inin ma'aser sheni, with regards to ma'aser sheni, di achel le'chutz lechoma lakim. The lacha ma'aser sheni is that you need to bring ma'aser sheni to eat inside the walls of Yerushalayim. If a person eats outside the walls of Yerushalayim, one is chayv, there's a chayv iser deraisa. So if you eat a little bit of each of these, it's mitstarif to a kazayis, you eat it outside, one would get malchus for doing so.
But they all agree on each other.
Yeah, I don't think there's argument, yeah. Yeah, Rav Amar Linen Tumas Ochlin. Rav says, regards to Tumas Ochlin, that you have to have a size of a kebetza for something to be metame, Tumas Ochlin. So if you combine all these types together to a kebetza, it would be metame. The tefuah is telling us that tefuah of a kemachin dumya de betekos, that the grains and the flour are similar to betekos dough. Ma hasam ochla be'en, just like you eat it as is, af hachanami ochla be'en, so too you eat these as is. As Rashi points out, top line of Rashi, ma hasam batek ochla be'en, lafuke klipas orin v'sovim shebekmachim, as opposed to the shells of the barley, and what's subin again? The, I forget how they call it in English. Course? No, it's... As something else that's in the flour, these things, the lav ochlin, you know, they're not edible. Bran, that's not edible. That's not mitzarif le kibetza, because they're not edible.
In those days, not
good bran. I do, yeah. Oh, I don't. I don't know. We could ask who. I don't know. Fine. Then the Gemara says, "V'hatanya." The Brisa tells us, as a, I think this is binichusa as a support, chita bein klupa bein shein klupa mitzarefes. A chita, whether or not you took the shell off or not the shell, the shaft or not the shaft, it's mitzarefes. That's called edible, the shaft of the chita is edible. Seora klupa mitzarefes, sheino klupa eino mitzarefes. If the barley shells are removed, it's considered edible, but if the shells are still on, the outside the shaft is still on, it's not mitzarefes because it's inedible when it comes to the seora. Gemara says, sheino klupa eino mitzarefes. If it's not shelled, it's not mitzarefes, the seora, it's not edible if it still has the outside on it. Aini, is that really true? About Tani, the Brisa tells us to be Rabbi Shmuel. I'll call Zerah Zerua Shei Zareya. Gemara Darshins Kederach Shem the Adam Motzin Lizria. The way a person, in terms of Tumas Ochlin, this is the context of Tumas Ochlin. The way it's planted, that's the way you're chayv for eating it. That's what makes it Tumas Ochlin. And Kederach Shem the Adam Motzin Lizria. Chita beklipasa v'sar beklipasa v'dashim beklipasa. I mean, what's considered ochel? The way a person plants it is the way it would be considered ochel. So since a person plants them with the klipas on, so if a person eats it, it's considered meichel. So we see that seora beklipasa is considered something that is roi lachila and should be mitzarefes. The Gemara says, lokasha hab belachos hab yaveshes. Depends whether it's dry or whether it's moist. If it's moist, Rashi explained, it's edible. The klipa is edible because it's soft. If it's dry, so then the klipa is inedible and would not be mitzarefes. If you just look at Tosis for a second, Dibramaso Kiderach Shmini Adam Motzin Lizria Chita Beklipasa, that you put the chita in the ground with the cover, with the clothing on it, if you will. Had Amar Besofa Ksubas, the Gemara at the end of Maseches Ksubas, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Ma Chita Shenikbara Aruma Motzia Kamalavushin. The Gemara there says, you plant a chita naked, if you will. There's no shell on the outside. And the Gemara says, chias amesim, just like a chita which is buried naked, it grows with covers on it. So if the people are going to grow, they'll come out of the ground, chias amesim, with clothing on. So the Gemara there says it's buried aruma. Here the Gemara says it's buried beklipasa, with a cover and the shell. So Omer Rabbeinu Tam says, the hachi kamar, afil haisa nikberes aruma, yotze bekama levushim. Not that we do it that way. We talk and do it with a klipa. But even if one were to bury, to plant a chita aruma without the shell, it would still grow with shells. But the bederach, the way people normally do the planting, I don't really know, is really bederach biklipasa with the shell, with the clothing on it. That's what's normal. Okay, the Gemara now tells us, quotes in the Mishnah again, Vasurin b'chadash m'lefnei Pesach. One cannot eat any of these grains are considered chadash until Pesach comes. And minahan emila, how do I know? It says, Amar Rish Lakish, Asya lechem lechem mi matzah. So this referring to the Isra chadash is just like it says lechem matzah. Matzah is the five grains, so to lechem by chadash applies only to the five grains, not to always v'dochen. Then it said in the Mishnah, Liktor lefnei Omer, one's not supposed to harvest the food, the grains, before the carbon Omer. Menachem Emilia, how do I know? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asir Reishis Michala. It's Gzer Shava Reishis. It says Reishis Mechala, and that applies to the five grains, and it says Reishis as well, when it comes to the Ktsira, so you shouldn't do the Ktsira of these five grains until one brought the carbon Omer. All five grains are included. Omer for a Pesach.
And then the last one, they also switch it around. I don't know why.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You can't do Ksira on the first day of Pesach.
Uh-huh, so that's why.
Either way, it's the same thing. Same way.
Okay, yeah, there's a Bach that changes them around, it seems, also. Okay, the Gemara now says, my Kodem Omer, what does it mean prior to the Omer? That before the Omer, that person is not allowed to eat Chadash before the Omer. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yonah, Amar Kodem Ktsiras Omer, before the cutting of the Omer. Rabbi Yosi Bar Zavda Amar Kodem Havaz Omer. So just look at Rashi. Rashi says, "My Kodem La Omer." Rashi says that the Katani Masisin Vasurin Bechadash Lefnei Omer. You can't eat Chadash before the Omer. So Kodem Ktsiras Omer. Rabbi Yonah says before Ktsiras Omer. That means Aval Laachar Ktsiras Omer Shari Lechol Chadash. Even before the carbon was brought, as long as you cut it, the sunrise, that morning of Chol Moed Pesach, you could already eat it then, after Ktsiras Omer with the Zrichas HaShemesh. The other opinion of Rabbi Yossi was, Kodem Havas Omer, Aser Lechol Chadash. The Omer Matir Bizman Sheh Mikdash Kaim V'lo Heir Mizrach. You have to wait until the carbon. So at what point is Chadash permitted? Is it again based on Heir Mizrach, which is we're saying is the same as Ksiyasa Omer, or is it based on the carbon Omer when you actually bring the carbon? So that's the Machlokis Amarim to understand. So Gemara says, Tanan, Asum B'Chadash Lifnei Pesach V'Liktor Lifnei HaOmer. You can't eat Chadash before Pesach, and you can't eat, the girsa here should be probably before the Omer. Before the Omer, and you can't do the Ktsira before Pesach. So, Bishma, this makes sense. L'man damar kodem havas Omer. Hainu de lo kar ariv lu v'tani lu. I understand the situation that if you say that kodem havas Omer is when it's aser, but after the carbon is permitted, that's why they didn't mix them together. Because Ktsira, if you look at Rashi, Rashi is Bishma, l'man damar asura b'achila, Anava, you can't eat the chadash until the carbon's brought. Hainu de lo arv achil v'ktira kiadadi. That's why I didn't mix the het of eating and the het of ktira together. Mishum de ktira sharya mimotzi yomtiv. You're allowed to start cutting the grains motzi yomtiv. V'achila is not permitted lo sharya anak karevas omer. So that's why he separated them two halachas of when ktira is permitted and when achila is permitted. But Ella, if you assume like the other mandamar kodem ktira sa omer, that the het of eating is already permitted from Heir Mizrach, the time of Ktsira, meaning you could eat, the moment you're allowed to, Motzi Yom Tov in essence. Motzi Yom Tov, you could both eat, and you could do Ktsira together, so then, Le'arvinu Lisnu Asum B'Chadash, V'Liktor Lifnei Pesach. Just say together, put them together. You can't eat, and you can't do Ktsira before Pesach, but once Motzi Yom Tov comes, you're allowed to do both of them. So, seems to be not the way it's understood. So that can't be the Machlokas then. So it must be the Mishnah understood that Ktsira is permitted Motzi Yom Tov, and Achila is permitted to have Havas Omer. So we have to now re-understand the Machlokas Amaram, Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yossi, to refer to a different case. Ela Itamar, if you know of such a Machlokas between the two Amaram, it must be as safe Itamar. It was said about the safe of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Im Hishrishu Kodim La Omer, if the grains had taken root before the carbon Omer, and the carbon Omer is brought, then the Omer is Matirin, the Omer turned everything into Yashin, and therefore permitted. So what does it mean, my kodem omer? What does it mean, taking root before what stage? Rabbi Yonah Amar, kodem havas omer. If it took root before the carbon omer, meaning it took root the morning of Chol Moed, and a few hours before the carbon was brought, and the carbon's brought, then that's fine. The carbon omer is able to be matir, those last moments of hashrasha. A Rabbi Yossi bar Azavda Omer Kodem Ktsir Somer. Nope. He says it has to have completed taking root the Matzah Yom Tov. But if it only until the morning did it start taking root, it's already too late. It has to be the Hashrash has to take place Matzah Yom Tov at Laila when you do the Ktsira. But if it only took root in the morning, according to Rabbi Yossi, it would not work and you would have to wait until the following year. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbat.